Happy Mother's Day. Could your grandmothers cook? What about your mother? Could they cook? Can you cook? You know, everybody likes food, so I thought it would go down that track and that thought. And, you know, you watch I've seen different series or movies or something, and there's this thing of the concept of this young man or somebody saying, that's just like my mama used to make. And sometimes a young wife has to overcome that the new husband likes his mom's cooking, and she's got to compete, she feels, for that. But, you know, if the mother can cook and the grandmother can cook, doesn't that kind of make it easier for the daughter to cook? Now, that's not always the case. Someone starts the cycle. But it's easier to learn, I think, when you're around other people that are doing that same thing. You could say same kind of concept with men and their fathers, learning to do, maybe working on different kinds of things. But with moms and cooking, at some point there's a beginning that there's the mom that knew how to cook and had and started the recipe. And then the daughter that came along that decided, because not everybody decides to follow. But they're like, well, mom was an okay cook. And maybe mom cooked okay, but didn't know how to teach how to cook. But by just being around, picked up things and the desire to cook, and you kind of have a built-in apprenticeship going on. Because as you're helping, even if it's a chore, you're learning how to cook, and then if you're doing it wrong, you're getting told to do it a different way. And so it helps you. And then the next generation, the grandmother knew how to cook, the mom knows how to cook, and then the daughter. The mom then picks it up, and the second generation maybe doesn't have to learn to cook as they were going, but maybe they spend a little bit more time figuring out how to teach it to the next generation. And then by the time you get to third generation, boy, it's set. And you go to those places like, man, they've been doing this cooking and they've been doing this thing for generations. Or this recipe that's handed down. And, you know, sometimes the recipes are handed down by word of mouth and things get mixed. And then it gets tweaked. And then finally when it's getting written down and you get the recipe that came from the generations and it's been tuned and tweaked and has the little side notes, it makes it that much easier for the following generation to be able to cook. To be able to cook. So, we think about that in light of the lesson that we're going to learn from Scripture today. If you think about it, when you went around your grandmother or your mother, you had the opportunity that you could watch and learn. Just being around and watching, sitting there watching them cook, you could listen and learn. And at some point, you got to actually be coached and you got to practice. So we want to turn to the book of 2 Timothy and look at this story. And the characters in this portion of Scripture, we're going to read it in a minute here. We have the grandmother Lois, is her name. And her daughter's name is Eunice. And Lois's grandson's name is Timothy. And Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. Now, Timothy's dad was a Greek. It says in Acts 16:1, and we won't necessarily turn there, but that's where we find that Timothy's mom is a Jew that is a Christian. And Timothy's dad is a Greek. Now the fact, well, let's just turn there a minute. I'm sorry. Acts 16:1. I think it'll be helpful if you saw it. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. So the fact that it says it was a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek, makes you, it's not exact, but generally thinking that his father was not a Christian, but his mother was. So Timothy was multi-ethnic, you might say. Greek and Jew. So you have a little bit of background on Eunice. Eunice is the mother. And the grandmother Lois, let's read her story. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 7, and that's where we'll spend our time. Grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, son Timothy. And so Paul's writing him this letter. This is second epistle meaning letter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. We go back and we see in verse 4, Paul says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. Timothy must be having a hard time. And Paul's acknowledging that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. So he's like, I'm mindful of how hard it you are having, but I am filled with joy when I come to remembrance that you have a genuine faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Grandmother Lois was the first one with the faith. She was the first one in the faith. She's the one that began it. She started the pattern. She passed it on. Her daughter Eunice carried it on and also passed it on. If you don't have it, you can't pass it on. But it's not an automatic thing. Eunice had to choose to carry it on. It was Lois that was the pattern breaker, that did something new. had to kind of figure it out. Now, you might have come from a household where mom cooked well. But there are other households when the mom might not be able to cook very well. It's a TV dinner in a microwave. They even call them TV dinners anymore. Used to be it was TV dinner in an oven. But not all can cook. But somebody's decided, listen, I'm going to make a change and learn to cook. But in this case, I'm going to be the one that breaks the pattern to start Christian walk. Now, I don't know where Lois was at when she broke the pattern and started the pattern. It might have been later in life. If we think of this in context of how long it has been from when Jesus crucified and was resurrected. But it's hard to be the first sometimes. Coming in with all the baggage and the patterns. See, as children pick up the patterns of speech and patterns of life from their parents. And even if the children choose to follow Christ, they're still influenced by the godly actions of their parents that were respectful to others and how they treated others and how they approached things. Whether they like it or not, it influenced how they lived their life, even if they reject Christ. Because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your children are. They have to make a choice, but it sets a pattern. And so we can think, okay, was my mother a Christian? Was my grandmother a Christian? Was my great-grandmother a Christian? Well, in my family tree, I can go up and there's some cracks in some of those places. In your family tree, there may or may not be cracks in some of those places. But when there's a pattern of life and it's generational, it can improve as it's passed. You think about some of the cooking and someone's a good cook and they pass that down and then you end up with new recipes and more recipes. It gets better in the cooking. But when you have generations that living for God, it has to be helpful. They're truly living for God. It has to be helpful to the generations that follow, but the first one breaks the pattern somewhere in their life. And it sets the pattern for the one that follows behind. And for each generation, it gives them that opportunity. And if the grandmother changes the pattern in the middle of their life, and the daughter sees the change, the daughter starts to wonder what the change is. Sees the before and after. And so Timothy had a mother and a grandmother faithful in the Lord. Timothy was a minister of the gospel . Someone that Paul held in high esteem . Sometimes you might wonder what impact you might be having or could have. If you think about the grandmother Eunice, changed the pattern, followed God, followed Christ. Because it says it dwelt first in the grandmother Lois. It's telling us it began the chain, continued to Eunice. But would have Lois have ever thought that what she was doing could be part of laying a foundation that was built upon, that in a couple generations there would be a preacher that knew Paul? Someone who's doing special for God. We don't know if we're faithful to God what impact the generations that follow might have for God. We begin that foundation. And in this case, Eunice's husband, well, I don't know if it was her husband, but it says Eunice's, that Timothy's father was a Greek. He wasn't a Christian. So when we see this example, we should be encouraged that we can have an impact even if we are the one that's starting the chain, even if we, independent maybe of when we started it, but I guess in some cases, the earlier we can start to live our life for Christ, the better we can pass it on. But at whatever point you're at, you can have an impact on generations down the road. Start the chain, impact the generations. And maybe you're in the middle of the chain, like Eunice. Maybe mom didn't get all that cooking exactly right. At least she started down the right path, and you can build on that. You can build on the Christian walk, make it better, make a better example for the children, so they have the opportunity. They have the opportunity to take it up. It's kind of like when someone has a family business. Is any of the children going to take on the family business, or they're going to choose not to? You can't force it. But the opportunity is there, makes it strong. But you have to carry it on and build on and realize that this heritage can get stronger, or you can break it. You can either pass it on, build on it, and pass it on, or you can break it. But there's two things that we have to keep in mind in this chain. One, you need to possess it to pass it on. Two, you have to pass it on. You can't just live it in a vacuum. When children are young, you have the opportunity to train them, instill on them biblical principles. When they become an adult, and we see it throughout the Old Testament, they'll make their own choices. But you give them every opportunity to instill that. But it's not that you just have to possess it. You have to possess it in front of them. And depending on where their ages are, you have to instill it on them. You help them in memorizing Scripture. You help teach them to pray. You give them biblical foundation on how to interact with other people. And it helps forms their life even though they don't know it. And if you are down the chain a little bit, you have to receive it and not rebel against it. You see that, like I've said, in the Old Testament is sometimes we think it's better someplace else, not realizing how good we actually have it. You know, I've walked and talked to people, or you run across people and they'll say, listen, I was poor growing up. I'm not saying I was, but people will say, we were poor growing up, but we didn't know it. Because the family operated, they had fun, things were provided for, but they didn't know that they were poor. But they had family and tightness. On the other side, you might have people that they grew up with lots of money, but they didn't have, they were rich, they knew it, but they don't have a family that works together. Very independent. Might be broken families. You know, you're poor and you didn't know it, it's because you were working together to get through the crisis. And if you had so much money that you never had a financial crisis, maybe you never had to work together. I guess maybe there's a blessing to not having everything you want, huh? So be encouraged. Be challenged. That the choices that you're making in your personal life have an impact on generations. And you say, I'm just so-and-so, I'm not that smart, or I'm not whatever you put yourself down for, which you probably shouldn't be doing. You can have an impact on generations down the road. There's maybe things you have done that you're embarrassed about and they affect how you're able to interact with other people, but generations down the road, because your sins have been forgiven, you broke the pattern, can build from that and improve on that to be a greater impact for Christ, even like a Timothy. So as you think of this on Mother's Day, each generation can either begin the pattern of a Christ-like family, they can build on what has been passed on, or they can break the pattern. Be thankful for the Christian heritage you have, if you have any. Be thankful for be delivered from it if you're starting the chain. Be encouraged that you've started something new to be passed on. Be challenged if you have a Christian heritage to pass it on. That you influence it. And if they're not following Christ now, that you've influenced their lives. And that you've given something that the Lord can wake up in them. But we be willing to either begin it, build on it, but don't break it. Move it forward. Move it forward. May the Lord bless you as mothers today. May you be seeking God's direction and realize that you have an impact on the generations. You might have grandchildren that are starting to look towards God, even if their parents aren't. And you can have an influence there. You can re-encourage them. You don't have to necessarily teach them, if that's not your thing, about the Bible. But you can encourage them that they're doing the right thing and going in the right direction if they're following the Lord. Because their friends might not be encouraging them. But grandmas have a special place in children's hearts. Mothers have a special place in children's hearts. Just think of all the times you've seen professional football players Say, I love you, Mom. When the cameras come. They don't seem to say, I love you, Dad. I don't know what the deal is. But that's what they do. Let's be standing together. Lord, we thank you for our mothers today. We thank you, Father, for how they influence our lives. We pray, Father, that we would take that responsibility to pass things on to our children, to receive from the generations those that are Christians, and to pass it on, to live it in a way that it's a good example. And at some point in their life, even if they're prodigal children, as it were, that they would remember what's it like to be in a house that follows God. And Lord, that we would continue in this pattern, continue in their Christian heritage, and that we would present ourselves well to the generations that follow. And Father, that we'd be encouraged that yes, it's worth it. It's worth it for our children. It's worth it for our grandchildren. And beyond that, to be faithful to you, to be an encouragement to the generations, and to trust you in our times of trouble and difficulty, so that we might lay down a pattern for those that would follow in our footsteps. Whether it be our children or those younger ones around us, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.